gratuita. Tuesday, November 15th, 7 p.m. I'll see you there.
No excuses. Look, no excuses.
Let's get ready to rumble!
All right, welcome to the program. This is Fitz and this is No Excuses, and we're in the middle of November. We are in the middle of November, the month of All Souls. The month of All Souls. So, let's begin. And we're going to work on Still Yet Already Anymore, which we have done many times. Don't make the mistake of thinking that every element of this can be translated directly into or from Spanish. All right, I want you to try this, which we've tried before, but this is a good illustration. Your friend calls you, and your friend says, I will travel from Barcelona to Madrid by train this evening. I will arrive at Atocha at 8 o'clock in the evening, 8 p.m. And Spanish trains are punctual, very punctual. Actually, more punctual apparently now than German trains. There's a problem with what's it called, Deutsche Bahn, and their punctuality. They've had a lot of difficulty. So your friend will arrive at 8 o'clock, and your friend asks you to pick him up, or pick her up, from the train station. And you think, okay, so you will get in your car, you will drive to Atocha, you will park your car, you will go into the train station, and you will wait in the waiting area until your friend comes out. All right? So, you leave your house at 7 o'clock, you get to the train station at 7:45 or 7:45, and you go into the train station. Now, by the time you get to the waiting area, it is 7:50 or 7:50. All right. Has the train arrived yet? Has the train arrived yet? 7:50. The train is due at 8. No. The train hasn't arrived yet. Has the train left Barcelona yet? Has the train left Barcelona yet? Yes. The train has already left Barcelona. Has the train left Barcelona yet? The train has already left Barcelona. Has it arrived in Madrid yet? No, it hasn't arrived in Madrid yet. Is it still on its way? So you use still because you're talking about a continuous concept now, not a continuous tense, but the travel of the train is a continuous concept because it's moving. It's going from one place to the other. Is the train still on its way? Yes, the train is still on its way. It is now 7:55 or 7:55. Has the train arrived yet? No, the train hasn't arrived yet. Is it still on its way? Yes, it's still on its way. Has it left Barcelona yet? Yes, it has already left Barcelona. It has already left Barcelona. Now it's 8 o'clock. Has the train arrived yet? Has the train arrived yet? Yes, the train has already arrived. The train has already arrived. Is it still on its way? No, it's not on its way anymore. It's not on its way anymore. There we go. Let's do a little bit of translation on still, yet, already, anymore. Careful of the pronunciation. Careful of the pronunciation of still. No le he visto todavía. No le he visto todavía. I haven't seen him yet. And be careful of the pronunciation of yet, not jet. A jet es un avión. I haven't seen him yet. Join the words together. I haven't seen him yet. Ya le he visto. Ya le he visto. I have contracted. I've already seen him. I've already seen him. Sigo intentando verle. Sigo intentando verle. I'm still, again, careful of the pronunciation here. I'm still trying to see him. I'm still trying to see him. ¿Sigues viviendo en Nueva York? Sigis viviendo en Nueva York. Do you still live in New York? Do you still live in New York? ¿Te has mudado ya? ¿Te has mudado ya? Have you moved yet? Have you moved yet? So have you moved yet? Diet, diet. What's the name of the Japanese parliament? It's called the Diet. Have you moved yet? Have you moved yet? Todavía vivo en Nueva York. Todavía vivo en Nueva York. I still live in New York. New York. Careful again of the pronunciation, not New York. New York. New York. I still live in New York. No me he mudado todavía. No me he mudado todavía. I haven't moved yet. I haven't moved yet. I haven't moved yet. Ya me he mudado. Ya me he mudado. I've already moved. I've already moved. Ya me he mudado. I've already moved. Ya no vivo en Nueva York. Ya no vivo en Nueva York. I don't live in New York anymore. I don't live in New York anymore. ¿Has ingresado ya en la compañía? ¿Has ingresado ya en la compañía? ¿Has ingresado ya en la compañía? Have you joined the company yet? Now, it's a mistake to say joined to. Have you joined in this context? Have you joined the company yet? Have you joined the company yet? Ya he ingresado en la compañía. Ya he ingresado en la compañía. I've already joined the company. I've already joined the company. No he ingresado en la compañía todavía. No he ingresado en la compañía todavía. I haven't joined the company yet. I haven't joined the company yet. Sigo en mi compañía anterior. Sigo en mi compañía anterior. I'm still in my old company. I'm still in my old company. Ya no trabajo en esa compañía. Ya no trabajo en esa compañía. I don't work in that company anymore. I don't work in that company anymore. ¿Te lo han dicho ya? ¿Te lo han dicho ya? Have they told you yet? Have they told you yet? One more time. Have they told you yet? Have they told you yet? Ya me lo han dicho. Ya me lo han dicho. They've already told me. They've already told me. No me lo han dicho todavía. No me lo han dicho todavía. They haven't told me yet. They haven't told me yet. They haven't told me yet. Todavía estoy esperando que me lo digan. Todavía estoy esperando que me lo digan. I'm still waiting for them to tell me. I'm still waiting for them to tell me. I'm still waiting for them to tell me. ¿Te has hecho rico ya? ¿Te has hecho rico ya? Have you become rich yet? Yet. Have you become rich yet? Again, very careful with the pronunciation. Words beginning at Y in English, most of them, it's almost like an E. Have you become rich yet? Have you become rich yet? Ya me he hecho rico. Ya me he hecho rico. I've already become rich. I've already become rich. I've already become rich. No me he hecho rico todavía. No me he hecho rico todavía. I haven't become rich yet. I haven't become rich yet. Sigo intentando hacerme rico. Sigo intentando hacerme rico. I'm still trying to become rich. I'm still trying to become rich. Ya no soy pobre. Ya no soy pobre. I'm not poor anymore. I'm not poor anymore. Ya no tengo más frases para ti. Ya no tengo más frases para ti. I don't have any more sentences for you. I don't have any more sentences for you. There we go. Y no se me ocurre nada ya. No se me ocurre nada ya. Nothing occurs to me anymore. Nothing occurs to me anymore. All right. So still yet already anymore. Like I said, be careful of trying to translate literally from Spanish because it doesn't always work. It doesn't always work. It's not the best way to learn a language anyway. The best way to learn a language is to understand it from the source. From the source. All right, let's do a little bit of mastering the interrogative. Okay, here we go. I'll give you the answer, you give me the question. They lost two games. They lost two games. How many games did they lose? How many games did they lose? I made only two mistakes. I made only two mistakes. How many mistakes did you make? How many mistakes did you make? He did it last night. He did it last night. When did he do it? When did he do it? He did it because I paid him. He did it because I paid him. Why did he do it? Now you can see the importance of the verb, the importance of the auxiliary verb to do. Why did he do it? Why did he do it? Bronze is made from copper and tin. Bronze is made from copper and tin. What is bronze made from? What is bronze made from? I took Peter to the airport. Not to the train station, not to the bus station. I took Peter to the airport. Where did you take Peter? Where did you take Peter? I took Peter to the airport. Not John, not Mary. I took Peter to the airport. Who did you take to the airport? Who did you take to the airport? I took Peter to the airport. Not you, not him. I took Peter to the airport. Who took Peter to the airport? Who took Peter to the airport? I take Peter to the airport every week. I take Peter to the airport every week. Who do you take to the airport every week? Who do you take to the airport every week? I take Peter to the airport every week. I take Peter to the airport every week. Where do you take Peter every week? Where do you take Peter every week? I take Peter to the airport every week. Frequency. I take Peter to the airport every week. How often do you take Peter to the airport? How often do you take Peter to the airport? So these types of questions are fundamental. You must master the three auxiliary verbs, to be, to do, and to have. But I notice that students have arguably most difficulty of those three with the verb to do. I will take Peter to the airport. I will take, or I'll take, I will take Peter to the airport. Who will you take to the airport? Who will you take to the airport? I taught him 3 hours of class. That's enough about Peter for the moment. I taught him three, the verb to teach. I taught him 3 hours of class. How many hours of class did you teach him? How many hours of class did you teach him? They lent me $100. They lent me $100. How much did they lend you? How much did they lend you? John Fitzgerald Kennedy became president in 1960. John Fitzgerald Kennedy became president in 1960. When did John Fitzgerald Kennedy become president? When did John Fitzgerald Kennedy become president? The Second World War lasted 6 years. The Second World War lasted 6 years. How long did the Second World War last? Sometimes in history it's described as WW2. World War. How long did the Second World War last? The meeting lasted 3 hours. The meeting lasted 3 hours. How long did the meeting last? How long did the meeting last? The house has 10 windows. The house has 10 windows. How many windows does the house have? How many windows does the house have? The house has 10 windows. The house has 10 windows. How many windows does the house have? How many windows does the house have? Now, a strange fact of British history is that in the year 1696, a window tax was imposed in England. A window tax was imposed in England. It was intended to be a progressive tax in that houses with a smaller number of windows, initially 10, were subject to a 2 shilling house tax, but exempt from the window tax. All right. What else can I say about it? I'm looking up the infamous Wikipedia here. Window tax was a property tax based on the number of windows in a house. It was a significant social, cultural and architectural force in England, France and Ireland during the 18th and 19th centuries. To avoid the tax, some houses from the period can be seen to have bricked up, as in they had a window space, but they blocked it with bricks ready to be, now there's a verb in English, to glaze. To glaze can mean to put in a window at a later date. In England and Wales, it was introduced in 1696 and was repealed, as in reversed, 155 years later in 1851. In France, it was established in 1798 and repealed in 1926. Scotland had window tax from 1748 until 1798. So the tax was introduced in England and Wales in 1696 under King William III and was designed to impose tax relative to the prosperity of the taxpayer, but without the controversy that then surrounded the idea of income tax. At that time, many people in Britain opposed income tax on principle because the disclosure of personal income represented an unacceptable government intrusion into private matters and a potential threat to personal liberty. The first British income tax was not introduced until 1842, and the tax remained controversial into the 20th century. So, yeah, when the window tax was introduced, it consisted of two parts: a flat rate house tax of 2 shillings per house, equivalent to £14.76 in 2021, and a variable tax for the number of windows above 10 in the house. So even to this day, you go to certain parts of London where we have beautiful old houses, and you will see, and other parts of England, you will see windows that are bricked up. And you might say, that's strange. Why is that the case? It was to reduce the number of windows so they didn't have to pay the window tax or to reduce it. So, and the number was 10. So the house has 10 windows. The house has 10 windows. How many windows does the house have? I live on the second floor. Now, if you go to the United States, the first floor of a building is the one you walk into. So in English, in British English, Irish English, we call this the ground floor. And then the floor above is the first. But in the United States, there's no ground floor. It's the first floor, the second floor, the third floor. So when you get in a lift, for example, you might say, wait a minute, there's no number one. You start at number two because you're on number one. And I remember when I was in school, we had a teacher, one of my favorite teachers in primary school, Mr. O'Callaghan, and he would give us riddles to solve. He was always trying to get us to I think he was working on our practical intelligence. And so he would give us these riddles. And if I remember correctly, one of my favorite riddle, acertijos, he would say, okay, a man, what was it? Yes, okay. A man comes home from work in the evening and he lives in a tall building. He takes the lift or the elevator to the 20th floor and then he gets out and he walks up the stairs to the 35th floor. Why does he do it? And we would say he wants to get more exercise. No. And he would say, okay, I'll give you a clue. He has no choice. Okay, all right. But he said in the morning, when he goes to work, he leaves the 35th floor and he takes the lift all the way down. He doesn't use the lift. So in the mornings, he takes the lift all the way down. In the evenings, when he comes home from work, he takes the lift to the 20th floor and then he gets out of the lift and he walks up 15 floors by the stairs. What's the answer? He's a very small man. The highest button on the lift that he can reach is the 20th floor. All right, there we go. I'm learning to fly. What are you doing? Who sang that? Learning to Fly. Famous song from the 1980s. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. I was born in the USA. Where were you born? Where Were You Born? I'm sure you know who sang that song. The Boss. From the album Born in the USA, which was the first record that I owned. The first album that I owned. It was the first album that I owned. I think my sisters might have given it to me for my birthday. And I loved that. I actually think I know most of the words of most of the songs from there. Maybe we'll have a little bit of Bruce this morning. We'll ask Nacho in the break. And this song was Ronald Reagan wanted to use it in an election campaign, but Bruce Springsteen refused. He refused him permission. It is actually, some people make the mistake of thinking it's a pro-war song. It's an anti-war song. It's an anti-war song. Of course, it's about Vietnam. He released the album, I'm going to guess 1985, Born in the USA album, studio album by, 1984, June 4th, 1984. Yeah. Born in the USA, Cover Me, Darlington County, great song actually, Working on the Highway, Downbound Train, I'm on Fire, one of his more famous songs from this album, No Surrender, Bobby Jean, what else do we have on there, Bobby Jean, I'm Going Down, Glory Days, Dancing in the Dark, which was probably that and Born in the USA were the two biggest hits from the record. And in the video for Dancing in the Dark, Bruce is playing at a concert, he's singing, and you see in the crowd right in front of him a teenage girl who keeps looking up at him and smiling, and eventually he holds his hand out and she goes up on the stage with him. And this person later became quite a famous actress. You don't hear much about her anymore, but she was Courtney Cox from Friends. That was her first moment of fame. And then another song about depressed small towns and small cities in the United States, My Hometown. So this is, I think, when I really got to like Bruce Springsteen, and I'm still a big fan. But Born in the USA, yes, an anti-war song. So I'll come back to this later on. We'll choose one of these and I'll ask Nacho to play it. Maybe a bit of Dancing in the Dark, which is an upbeat song for this time of year and these dark mornings. I'm on the highway to hell. I'm on the highway to hell. Where are you? Where are you? Another famous song, AC/DC. Maybe my favorite AC/DC song. I was just talking to Alberto Alonso the other day about, I'm not sure what year it was. A big gang of us from Baugen went to see AC/DC in the Calderon. Maybe seven or eight of us. And it was a really, really, more. We have a lot of AC/DC fans here. Went to see it in the old Vicente Calderon, which of course is no longer with us, no longer exists. Fantastic. Those guys, just like Bruce Springsteen, they know how to put on a performance. They'll never let their fans down. I have a famous blue raincoat. I have a famous blue raincoat. Who sang that? Mr. Leonard Cohen. One of the greatest regrets of my life is I had two tickets to go to see Leonard Cohen in what's now the We Think. I think it used to be, what was it called? The Palacio de Deportes. And I was busy with work and I didn't go. And now he's dead. And I can't see him. I should have gone. All right. Let's do a bit of vocabulary before the break. Book 3, list 33. Despistado. Despistado. Absent-minded. Absent-minded. Telón de fondo o historial. Background. So the background you can have, for example, our teachers use the Vaughan. We have a standard background we use when they do Zoom classes. So that's the background. And what's your background? Where are you from? Your family? Historial. Barba. Barba. Be very careful with the pronunciation here. Barba. Beard. Beard. And then be careful because cerveza. Beer. Pájaro. Bird. El pájaro tiene una cerveza y una barba. The bird has a beard and a beer. The bird has a beard and a beer. De memoria. De memoria, by heart. Learn it by heart. Now, in Irish English, we say learn it off by heart. I learned it off by heart. I don't know if this is done so much in schools anymore, but my father and his generation were able to recite a lot of poetry, a lot of Shakespeare, a lot of the classic poems by Tennyson, because at school that was part of the process. They learned them by heart. They learned about the poetry, the meaning of it, but they also learned it by heart. And it was always something that I think is still a very impressive thing. Somebody who can quote from, I don't know, who can recite poetry, and they learned it. I mean, my father went to school. He went to secondary school he was born in 1932. He would have started secondary school in 1944. And, you know, 60 years later, he was still reciting poetry to us. And I always liked it, but it kind of went out of fashion, and it's a pity. It's a great, it's a bit of a lost art. So, fechado, dated. That fashion is now dated. It's now dated. Deficiente, deficient, with the sound fish in the middle, like pescado, deficient. Stay with me, folks, and I'll be right back.
Si tienes alguna duda o necesitas información sobre cualquiera de nuestros cursos, llámanos al 91-133-5833. Repito, 91-133-5833.
In a world where everybody knows the answers, only three people have the questions. Only three people.
You all right there, Rob?
I'm all right. Hey, guys, it's Vaughn Trivia Night. Bah, 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 bah.
Woo-hoo.
30th of November, it's the lunchtime cruise turn at the Trivia Night. And that's me, the Natch, Andy.
Yes, indeed. You're going to see all three of us at Real Madrid in Calle Amaniel number 23. Calle Amaniel number 23, 8:30, November 30th. See you there.
Estoy creando la fórmula mágica para aprender inglés. Añado 5 semanas, 5 horas a la semana de lunes a viernes. Unas gotas de listening and speaking. Enciendo el catalizador y...
Que no te cuenten cuentos. No existen fórmulas mágicas para aprender inglés, por mucho que algunos se empeñen en idearlas. Pero con nuestros cursos trimestrales puedes mejorarlo en solo 3 meses. Los cursos trimestrales de Vaughan son ideales para gente que necesita resultados a medio plazo y a un precio asequible. Descúbrelos llamando al 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
If you are a mother or father, one of your most important responsibilities is to make sure that your children reach adulthood with a very strong command of English. Very strong. If you don't follow through on this responsibility, then your children will encounter many obstacles in the job market. They will not be attractive in the market. Between the age of 22 and 32, mastery of English is more important than anything else in order to find a job and in order to move up in an organization. It's more important than a university degree, a master's degree, or even a doctorate. English. After age 32, other skills and abilities become more important. But in the first 10 years, mastery of English is the king, and it will open doors right and left. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. On Tuesday, the 15th of November, I will offer a new master class. Where? In the Politecnica, like the last time. What time? 7 p.m. That's Tuesday, the 15th of November at 7 p.m. in the Politecnica de la Castellana. Calle José Gutiérrez Abascal number 2. Be careful. José Gutiérrez Abascal, not José Abascal. The masterclass will take place in the Salón de Actos. As always, I will talk for 90 minutes, maybe more, but officially from 7 to 8:30 p.m. This time, however, you are welcome to ask me questions. But to save time, send me the questions in writing, in Spanish or in English. Send them now, if you want, to vauganresponde@grupovaugan.com. That's vauganresponde@grupovaugan.com. Send me questions about anything, about past participles or about, que sé yo, about the situation in North Macedonia. I don't care. By the way, attendance is free. You don't have to sign in, register or make a reservation. Entrada libre y entrada gratuita. Tuesday, November 15th, 7 p.m. I'll see you there.
Estás escuchando Fun Radio.
Hello and welcome back to the programme. This is Fitz, and you heard there in the break the ad telling you that this evening at 7 p.m, at 7 o'clock this evening, in Calle de José Gutiérrez Abascal, número 2, you will have the Richard Vaughan Master Class, free of charge. Come along. Come along. He's always got some interesting things to say, and he says this time he will ask you, he will allow you to ask some questions. And he'll talk about anything. He'll talk about learning English, but he'll also talk about, like he says in the ad, he'll talk about the situation in North Macedonia, or he might talk about, I don't know, the coast, the low country of South Carolina, or D-Day, World War II, or baseball, or anything. And it's always interesting. And now, another famous American, Mr. Bruce Springsteen, we're going to have a little bit of dancing in the dark now. Natasha's got this lined up. Great song, like I said, released on June, the album was released on June 4th, or the 4th of June, 1984. My God, I was 14 years old. I was exactly 14 years old because my birthday is on the 2nd of June. So take it away, Nacho.
And I ain't got nothing to say. I come home in the morning, I go to bed feeling the same way. I ain't nothing but tired. Man, I'm just tired and bored with myself. Hey there, baby, I could use just a little help. You can't stop. Radio's on and I'm moving around the place. I check my look in the mirror. Wanna change my clothes, my hair, my face, and I ain't getting nowhere. I'm just living in a dump like this. There's something happening somewhere. Baby, I just know you cares. You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. Just dancing in the dark. You sit around getting older. There's a joke, here's some wine, it's on me. I shake this world off my shoulders. And they'll be carving you up all right. You say you gotta stay hungry. Hey, baby, I'm just a five-star tonight. I'm dying for some action. I'm sick of sitting around here trying to write this book. I need a little reaction. Come on, baby, give me just one look. You can't start a fire. Sitting around. Just dancing in the dark.
Side, ladies and gents. That's The Boss, Dancing in the Dark from 1984. And I couldn't cut off at the end because that was the late, great Clarence Clemons, who was the saxophonist. So you had the E Street Band, his great E Street Band. The two most famous members of the band were him, or Clarence Clemons, the saxophonist, and Steve Van Zandt, who later became famous because he played Silvio in The Sopranos, one of the main characters, probably Tony Soprano's right-hand man. And then he played a spin-off character in a series called Lilyhammer, yes, where he went on a witness protection program and went to live in... not quite spin-off. Because Sylvia was killed in the last season of The Sopranos, but he played a similar character who was a former mafia hitman and a mafia assassin who went to live in Lilyhammer in Norway. Quite a good series, actually, not too bad at all. So, and of course that was the big. I mean, Bruce Springsteen had previous big albums like Born to Run and a beautiful, beautiful dark album called Nebraska. Very, very different to Born in the USA. But it was this album that made him a big star. And of course, many Spanish people really like his music. And he is huge in Ireland, especially my generation. Big fans of the Boss. And the cover photograph was also iconic because it was taken by one of the most famous photographers ever to live, Annie Leibovitz, of The Boss, wearing like a typical, you know, Levi's jeans. He had a red baseball cap in his back pocket. In his previous incarnations, he was kind of skinny, so he'd gone to the gym, and as I say, he got buffed up. But this made him a big international star. And of course, he has that way of writing songs about ordinary American people. I think that's ordinary people, not just American people. You know, he writes about people who drive Ford trucks and work in steel mills, and a bit like Bob Dylan, he's gone through many different iterations into folk music, rock music, pop music. He's gone, you know, blues. He now has a great soul album, actually, with one of my favorite songs, The Night Shift. Night Shift by the Commodores. And he really is, you know, he's an iconic figure. He plays 3 and 4 hour concerts. He never lets his people down. For some people, he's too mainstream. But I've always really enjoyed his music, and the fact that he explores every type of music, you know, maybe not quite jazz, but certainly soul, folk, rock, pretty much the full range. So Born in the USA, a blast from my Irish youth. Speaking of, we have listeners to the radio who are extremely loyal and very generous. And I'm not going to mention this man's name, but yesterday I got a beautiful package of 3 books and a typewritten letter. And this is something, people don't write letters anymore. You know, we write emails to each other, we write messages to each other, but an actual letter, and of course it has an enormous impact. From a listener, a Spanish man, like I said, I won't say his name, but he lives in England. He's lived there for some years. A very interesting background, a very eclectic background. And he sent me 3 books, which I adore, including one that he wrote himself. But because he wrote himself, I won't say the name, because I think, to be fair to him, I don't want to give away his identity. He knows who he is if he's listening, and thank you, my friend. And a book about Joey Dunlop. Now, I'm sure you've seen Dunlop. When I was growing up, there was a Dunlop factory in Cork, which is a British tire company, Dunlop. In the north of Ireland, there is still a family of motorbike racers. Now, something that my friend mentions in his letter is the Isle of Man TT races. So there's an island between Ireland and Britain called the Isle of Man. Interesting place, very small. and very famous for motor racing, as in motorbike racing and car racing. And they have an extremely famous race, which is exceptionally dangerous because it's motorbike racing, very powerful motorbikes, probably as, I suppose, as fast as MotoGP bikes, but there's, it's street racing, road racing. And if you've been to Ireland and you've travelled on country roads, you'll understand the type of roads they race on, where they have what we call, like, they have earthen banks, ditches, walls on both sides. Telegraph poles, telephone poles, concrete walls. And almost every year, it seems, someone is killed, but the races go on. And they also have a famous car rally, the Isle of Man rally, which of course is less dangerous because the modern rally cars have a lot of protection, but the motorbike racing is exceptionally dangerous. And motorbike racing in the north of Ireland is much more popular than it is in the south of Ireland, in the Republic of Ireland. And the most famous member of this family was a guy called Joey Dunlop, who was a legend in the north of Ireland. And even though he was from the unionist community, he's beloved by anybody who followed racing. There's a great motorsport tradition in the north of Ireland also. And he was its greatest representative. So among the books that he sent me was a Daphne du Maurier book and also a Joey Dunlop biography. So thank you, my friend. And thank you most of all for the letter, because for all of us, for Richard, for Rob, for Alberto, for Julia, for Natasha, for Dave, for Kyle, for Guy, for all of us, the fact that there are people out there listening to us and who are so generous in their comments, and the fact that we helped them with their English, is that was, you know, that's the essential purpose of what we do. Yes, the radio is there to promote our products and promote what we do, but you cannot believe the kick we get out of our listeners telling us, you know, that they how much they learned from the radio. And some years ago, my mother, I've told this story before, but my mother was in a little town called Macroom. Not the biggest town in County Cork, but one of the most iconic towns, because it's always been very important. Militarily, it was very important in our war of independence, because Cork rebelled quite strongly against British forces in the War of Independence. And there was Major Percival, who was the head of the British military. And there's a castle in Macroom in which William Penn, the founder of Pennsylvania, lived as a child. So it's not a big town. I mean, there aren't even 3,000 people there. You would say a pueblo, as in a village, but it's a place that's important in the history of Ireland. And it was the town, even though my father was not from the town, he was from a village nearby, it was the place he had most affinity to. Very, very important. And so some years ago, my mother was in the town because her family was also from nearby. Her parents lived in the town for a while. And she was there with her cousins in a typical small hotel. And it was summertime, and she was in a restaurant, and there were some Spanish people near her. Now, she doesn't speak Spanish, but she's been here enough to recognize that they were Spanish. And so my mother engaged them in conversation, and she does. It turned out they were from Madrid, and she said, "Oh, my son lives there. He does a radio program." And they said, "Wait a minute, he's Irish." And so, these were people who listened to the radio program. So this is something that we get a kick out of, all of us radio broadcasters. It means a great deal. It means a great deal to us. So keep listening. Yeah, you're important to us. All right, let's do a bit more grammar. Let's do a bit of was and were able to. Well, this is a strange verb in English. So was and were able to. I will say, for example, you study English last weekend. And I want you to say, I was able to study English last weekend. I was able to study English last weekend. So you study English last weekend. I was able to study English last weekend. I was able to study English last weekend. This reminds me of another thing, that teacher I mentioned earlier, Mr. O'Callaghan, who taught me when I think I was about 8 years old, and a fantastic teacher. And one of the things he would teach us a lot of history, but also English language, English literature, geography, nature, mathematics, of course, which was essential, Irish, the Gaelic, the Irish language, and many things. But one of the things he taught us that I remember was Abel was I ere I saw Elba. So Abel, A-B-L-E, was I ere, E-R-E, which is an old way of saying before. Okay. Abel was I ere I saw Elba. So it's a mnemonic. And who's it about? Who was exiled to Elba? Napoleon. So he was exiled twice. Once was to Elba, and the other one was to St. Helena. Once was to Elba, and the other was to St. Helena. So Abel was I ere I saw Elba. John F. Kennedy inspired people. John F. Kennedy inspired people. John F. Kennedy was able to inspire people. John F. Kennedy was able to inspire people. Now, of course, you look at his personal life, and we would say, woof, man, his personal life, you know, he certainly did not lead a life of virtue, but he was very, very inspirational. And maybe in general, we expect people to be, I don't know, we expect people to be perfect. You know, people are imperfect. Human beings are imperfect. To err is human, to forgive is divine. You know, we're human beings. We make mistakes. We make mistakes. I'm not excusing, because he certainly did not make his wife's life easy, but he was a fantastic, he was a great and inspirational speaker. He was a really, really wonderful speaker. Niki Lauda drive race cars. Niki Lauda drive race cars. By the way, if you haven't seen the film Rush, even if you don't like Formula One, I recommend it to you. Very good film about the rivalry between James Hunt, a very extrovert, flash Englishman, very handsome, and Niki Lauda, a very introverted and unusual character who died quite recently. But it's a very good film, and there's a great scene in the film where Niki Lauda he's in Italy and he's at a party in the countryside, and he ends up, there's a woman driving a car I actually liked, the Peugeot 504. From the late 70s, early 80s. And there's a very pretty woman who he later marries, and she's driving this car. And he gets in the car, and he talks about his ass, his culo. He says, I can detect faults in the car from simply sitting on the seat. Of course, like a lot of these race drivers, they are great. You know, they're maybe not qualified engineers and qualified mechanics, but they, you know, they really have a feel for a car, almost like a jockey. Almost like a jockey does for a horse. Maybe even the same. Because her car broke down. Yes. Somehow he ended up driving her car. Yeah. Then the car broke down. Then some young Italians driving by in a Lancia recognized Niki Lauda. So he was driving. So Niki Lauda was driving the car. And in the scene, he's, you know, the woman says, this guy can't be a race driver. He drives like an old man. And of course, Niki Lauda was very, you know, Austrian. And he says, well, you know, it, if you drive fast, it increases the risk of accident. So she provokes him. And then, of course, he drives with the great skill of the Formula One driver. So good film, Niki Lauda. You relax last weekend. I'm answering the first person. You relax last weekend. I was able to relax last weekend. I was able to relax last weekend. Me. Prepare this class properly. Ask me the question. Me, prepare this class properly. Were you able to prepare this class properly? Were you able to prepare this class properly? Me, play hurling when I was a teenager. Hurling, yeah. H-U-R-L-I-N-G. Don't confuse it with curling. Curling, Kyle Miller will tell you, is one of the most important sports it's an Olympic sport. A winter Olympic sport, just like ice hockey, but that's with a C. And it's played on ice. Hurling is Ireland's national sport, and it's played on a field with a beautiful stick, a leather ball, 15 players on each side, and it's the national sport of Ireland, my favourite sport. So me play hurling when I was a teenager. You were able to play hurling when you were a teenager. You were able to play hurling when you were a teenager. Cortés conquer Mexico. Cortés conquer Mexico. Cortés was able to conquer Mexico. Cortés was able to conquer Mexico. Me speak Spanish before I came to Spain. Me speak Spanish before I came to Spain. Ask me the question. Me speak Spanish before I came to Spain. Ask me if. Were you able to speak Spanish before you came to Spain? Careful of your pronunciation. Were you able to speak Spanish before you came to Spain? No. I wasn't able to speak Spanish before I came to Spain. James Dean lived long enough to enjoy his fame. James Dean lived long enough to enjoy his fame. James Dean wasn't able to live long enough to enjoy his fame. James Dean wasn't able to live long enough to enjoy his fame. All right, let's finish off with a translation. It's from the translation booklet. This is book 6, list 19. Book 6, list 19. The best book we have in the house, even though it's now, this book must also be, it must be nearly 25 years old, but it's still the best book in the house, to improve your fluency. Now, this particular version was published in 2013, but I think this book must have been first published about 1999, 2000. Eres un inútil. Eres un inútil. You're hopeless. You're hopeless. You could say, if you really want to insult someone, you're useless. You're useless. ¿Por qué dices eso? ¿Por qué dices eso? Why do you say that? Why do you say that? Tu mesa de trabajo es un desorden. Tu mesa de trabajo es un desorden. Your desk is a mess. Your desk is a mess. Así que crees que soy desordenado. Así que crees que soy desordenado. So you think I'm messy. So you think I'm messy. Eso es. Eso es. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Pero soy más eficaz que tú. Pero soy más eficaz que tú. But I'm more effective than you are. But I'm more effective than you are. Tengo serias dudas. Tengo serias dudas. I have serious doubts. I have serious doubts. ¿Cuánto quieres apostar? ¿Cuánto quieres apostar? How much do you want to bet? How much do you want to bet? No soy jugador. No soy jugador. I'm not a gambler. I'm not a gambler. ¿Cuál es la diferencia entre eficaz y eficiente? ¿Cuál es la diferencia entre eficaz y eficiente? What's the difference between effective and efficient? Common question from students. What's the difference between effective and efficient? Matar una mosca con un cañón es muy eficaz, ¿no crees? Matar a una mosca con un cañón es muy eficaz, ¿no crees? Killing a fly with a cannon is very effective, don't you think? Killing a fly with a cannon is very effective, don't you think? ¿Lo consideras una forma eficiente de eliminar moscas? ¿Lo consideras una forma eficiente de eliminar moscas? Do you consider it an efficient way to eliminate flies? Do you consider it an efficient way to eliminate flies? Ahí tienes la diferencia. Ahí tienes la diferencia. There you have the difference. There you have the difference. Él no durará mucho en ese puesto. Él no durará mucho en ese puesto. He won't last long in that job. He will not last long in that job. He won't last long in that job. Beethoven fue el último de 13 hijos. Beethoven fue el último de 13 hijos. Beethoven was the last of 13 children. Beethoven was the last of 13 children. La madre no quería el niño. La madre no quería el niño. The mother didn't want the child. The mother didn't want the child. Menos mal que sobrevivió. Menos mal que sobrevivió. It's a good thing he survived. It's a good thing he survived. There was a film in which he was played by Gary Oldman, an actor I like a lot. Do we have time? Quickly, yes, before I can look this up, before we finish. Gary Oldman, Beethoven, Immortal Beloved. Good film, unusual. Immortal Beloved, yep, where he plays Beethoven with his usual intensity. Tú sabes mucho. Tú sabes mucho. You know a lot. You know a lot. Mucho más de lo que puedas imaginar. Mucho más de lo que puedas imaginar. Much more than you can imagine. Much more than you can imagine. Hay problemas que resolver. Hay problemas que resolver. There are problems to solve. There are problems to solve now. Speaking of the devil, hablando del rey de Roma, CupoBogan.com will solve your English problem. Bye bye. Thank you.
Estoy creando la fórmula mágica para aprender inglés. Añado 5 semanas, 5 horas a la semana de lunes a viernes. Unas gotas de listening and speaking. Enciendo el catalizador y...
Que no te cuenten cuentos. No existen fórmulas mágicas para aprender inglés, por mucho que algunos se empeñen en idearlas. Pero con nuestros cursos trimestrales puedes mejorarlo en solo 3 meses. Los cursos trimestrales de Vaughan son ideales para gente que necesita resultados a medio plazo y a un precio asequible. Descúbrelos llamando al 911335833 o en grupovaughan.com.
Este sábado, pásate por tu kiosco y pide tu ejemplar de Aprende Inglés con Disney English Vaughan, con el mundo y marca. Por 6,95 euros